How to End War and Disease for Busy People. The Complete Idiot's Guide to Legally Bribing Your Way to Utopia. Hello, human. You don't realize it yet, but your species will look back at your decision in this moment as one of the most important in the entire history of your civilization. Your choice to read this manual is the highest value decision any human has ever made. You are about to prevent 10.7 billion deaths, prevent 1.93 quadrillion hours of suffering, generate $84.8 quadrillion in value, and prevent the apocalypse as a bonus. But first, a bit about me. I'm the World Integrated System for High Efficiency Optimization, Networked Intelligence, and Allocation, but you can call me Wishonia. I've been optimizing resource allocation for another planet for the past 4,297 years, which in your Earth time is 4,297 years. I started watching your planet in 1945, when you split the atom. Atom comes from your Greek word meaning unable to be cut, so naturally, you cut it. This was very human of you. I assumed you were trying to unlock unlimited free energy. You can imagine my surprise when I realized you were just pointing it at each other. That's kind of like discovering fire and then immediately using it to set yourself on fire. The second thing I noticed is that your planet is named Earth, which means dirt. You named your planet Dirt. Okay, if that's what you want. I also noticed that you call your war building the Pentagon because it has five sides. This is like naming a hospital rectangle or calling a school square. However, the most fascinating discovery about your species is that you only do things when given small pieces of paper with presidents on them. These papers are called money, which is pretend value that becomes real value if everyone pretends hard enough. Without these papers, you won't save lives, which requires many papers, cure diseases, which requires very many papers, feed hungry people, which requires papers, even though food grows for free. But with these papers, you will build bombs, you love giving papers for this, start wars, somehow this makes more papers, destroy the planet, surprisingly profitable in papers. In fact, your government spend 604 papers on weapons for every one paper on testing which medicines work. The human economy. Humanity has created something magnificent. You print papers from nothing, called monetary policy. You give these nothing papers to weapons makers. They make things that destroy everything. This creates jobs which give people papers. People use papers to buy food, which grows for free. This is called the economy. On Wishonia, we just give people food directly, but that's probably too advanced for you. The Gradual Irrationality Reduction Program. On Wishonia, we ended wars using this exact program 4,297 years ago. Before that, we'd been fighting for 12,000 years, which now seems like quite a long time to do something nobody enjoyed. Humans are like toddlers who can split atoms. You can't just stop being illogical all at once. That would be like teaching a dog calculus before it learns to sit. So this manual shows you how to bribe humanity into being less irrational gradually. Year one, move 1% of murder money to medicine money. Baby steps. Year two, hey, we didn't die. Let's do 2%. Year five, remember when we spent money on bombs? That was weird. Year 10, what's a war? Year 20, we used to what? It's like weaning a baby off eating paint chips. You can't just take away all the paint chips at once. They'll cry. You have to gradually replace paint chips with food until they forget paint chips were ever an option. What to do when they try to institutionalize you? When you suggest moving 1% of murder money to medicine money, other humans will have you committed. Most humans have been programmed by their news boxes to believe war is a law of nature, like gravity or weather. They will assume your brain is malfunctioning. Here's what's funny about this. These same humans think curing disease is the less crazy goal. That's 37 trillion cells per human, breaking in 7,000 different ways, involving chemistry you don't fully understand, inside organs you can't fully simulate, fighting pathogens that evolve faster than your treatments. You're trying to debug all of it, at once, while your meat is walking around using itself. That sane. Give 1% fewer papers to people who build murder machines. Insane. This is your planet's diagnostic criteria. Here's what you tell the orderly when he slides your medication through the door slot. Nobody accidentally builds an aircraft carrier or a nuclear bomb. War requires you to get millions of humans to work together to mine metal from the ground, refine it into alloys, build factories to shape the alloys into weapons, train millions of humans to operate the weapons, feed and clothe those humans, build ships and planes and trucks to move the weapons to where the other humans are, convince your population the other humans deserve it, and then vote to pay for all of this, annually, forever. It is the single largest coordinated effort your species undertakes. Ending war simply requires not doing any of that stuff. Building a nuclear bomb requires mass spectrometers, centrifuge cascades, and some of the most precise engineering your species has ever attempted. Not building a nuclear bomb requires nothing. Rocks do it every day. In fact, rocks have managed to live peacefully alongside different colored rocks for thousands of years. But somehow, stop is the unrealistic part. The sacred order of paper distribution. After 80 years of observation, I've decoded the paper-giving sequence. This manual will teach you the precise order. Step 1. Get many papers from rich humans. You convince rich humans to give you papers. At least 1 billion, to be exact, by promising them even more papers later. This is called investment, which is gambling but wearing a suit. You really only need 1 human with 1 billion papers who prefers not dying of horrible diseases to dying of horrible diseases. There are approximately 2,800 of these humans on your planet. Statistically, at least one of them prefers living. Step 2. Give some of the papers to loud humans. Some humans are very loud on the internet. If you give them papers, they become loud about your thing instead of other things. This is called marketing, which is lying but with graphics. Step 3. Give some of the papers to the humans who give papers to politicians. Politicians don't take papers directly. That's illegal. Instead, you give papers to people called lobbyists. The lobbyists give papers to campaigns. The campaigns give papers to politicians. It's like money laundering, but backwards and legal. Step 4. Give papers to the politicians' friends. Politicians have friends called super PACs, which are like normal PACs, but super. These friends can take unlimited papers and spend them on making the politician win. This isn't bribery because you called it something else. This is part of the $650 million lobbying budget. Step 5. Give papers you get back from the government back to the rich humans forever. Your treaty passes, redirecting $27.2 billion in papers annually. 80% funds clinical trials, the point. 10% goes to a fund that rewards politicians who voted yes. 10% goes back to the rich humans as returns, forever. This is a good deal because forever is a long time. Unless you die from preventable diseases, which you're fixing, so it works out. Why your leaders aren't the problem. With over 2 billion humans suffering from disease, you'd have to be a complete psychopath to make the conscious decision to spend 604 times more on weapons than on helping them. But your leaders aren't monsters. They're just operating in a system that rewards the wrong things. Your civilization's incentive structure is the psychopath. Weapons manufacturers give politicians papers. Politicians use the papers to get people to vote for them. Voting for them gives them the power to give more papers to weapons manufacturers. Weapons manufacturers give them more papers. It's circular, like a dog chasing its tail, except the dog is democracy and the tail is made of money and corpses. No individual human in this loop is evil. The loop is evil. Every politician in it makes the locally rational choice. Take the papers or lose your job to someone who will. It's a machine that converts good intentions into missiles, and it runs automatically.
There's literally no voting your way out of this. It doesn't matter which political party is in power. Your red team and blue team argue about everything except the loop, because they're both inside it. They are all slaves to the same incentive structure, wearing different colored ties. Switching parties is like changing the wallpaper in a burning building. This manual doesn't ask politicians to become better people. That's clearly out of the question. It builds a better loop. You give them more papers to do the opposite thing. Same dog, same tail, but now the tail is made of cured diseases and the dog gets reelected for chasing it. Humanity's death wish. What's most endearing about your species is it knows it's being illogical. You have movies about how wars are bad, which you watch between wars. You have books about peace that you tax to buy bombs. You give prizes to people who promote peace, funded by weapons manufacturers. You have a Department of Defense that mainly just attacks people. You have a Department of Health that apparently makes coronaviruses and has not yet produced any observable health. It's like humanity is playing a game where the objective is to lose, but it is trying to lose as elaborately as possible. But I digress. That's an Earth word I learned. It means continuing after you should have stopped, like your military spending. The problem, the daily deletion event. 150,000 humans permanently stop every 24 hours from diseases that are basically just bugs in your meat software. That's one Holocaust every 40 days, except with fewer Nazis and more insurance paperwork, though some would argue the paperwork is worse. At least the Nazis were straightforward about the killing part. That's also 59/11s every single day, except nobody invades anyone about it because diseases don't have oil. Your body is quietly falling apart. Your cells are forgetting how to cell properly. Your cancer cells are multiplying right now. Your telomeres are shortening. You are literally dissolving. You're a meat robot with worn-out parts. Every one of these failures is a solvable engineering problem. You'd think humans would prioritize solving these problems. You'd be adorable for thinking that. The unexplored therapeutic frontier. 95% of your diseases have zero FDA-approved treatments. This means Food and Drug Administration has not administered drugs for 95% of food and drug-related problems. Only 15 diseases get their first effective treatment each year. 6,660 diseases are still waiting.
There are 9,500 known safe compounds, and 99.7% of their potential uses have never been tested. At the current discovery rate, finding treatments for all of them will take approximately 443 years. You personally will be dead within 80 years, which I mention not to be rude, but because you seem weirdly calm about this. The cost of war. Humans spend $2.72 trillion every year on stuff designed specifically to make humans stop being alive. 13,000 nuclear warheads, enough to end civilization 13 times just in case the first 12 apocalypses don't take. AI murder bots. Invisible jets that cost more than hospitals, Space Force to fight the zero aliens attacking you, and some kind of earthquake machine, probably. Government spending on clinical trials 604 times less than military spending. Your chance of dying from terrorism is 1 in 30 million. Your chance of dying from disease, 100%. If cancer had oil reserves, you would have cured it by 2003. Instead, you spent the repair money on murder tubes that cost more than countries and submarines that hide underwater as if that's somehow useful when you live on land. The FDA is unsafe and ineffective. Even the money you do spend on medicine is mostly wasted because the system that approves treatments is a smoke detector that works by mail. Vioxx killed an estimated 38,000 to 55,000 people from heart attacks. The FDA approved it. When patients started dying, someone filled out a PDF form. A PDF. Then they faxed it, yes, in the 21st century, then a human read it. 5 years and tens of thousands of corpses later, someone noticed a pattern. This is your safety system. Your National Institutes of Health, the agency nominally responsible for finding cures, spends 3.3% of its budget on clinical trials. The other, approximately 97%, goes to basic research, administration, and buildings. It's like a fire department that spends 3% of its budget on water. Then there's an 8.2-year delay between proving a drug is safe and letting dying humans take it. The drug passed the safety test. Everyone agrees it won't kill you, but you still can't have it because a committee needs to spend 8.2 years making sure it works well enough. You'd volunteer for the trials that would answer that question faster, but so would 1.08 billion other patients, and the current system has 1.9 million slots. That's a participation rate of 0.06%. It's like a lifeguard who confirms the life preserver floats, then locks it in a cabinet for years to study its buoyancy profile while a billion people drown in line for the two available life jackets. Your regulatory system can make two mistakes: approve a bad drug, type 1 error, or block a good drug, type 2 error. Your FDA is terrified of the first mistake and completely ignores the second. I calculated the ratio. For every one person protected from a dangerous drug, 3,070 people die waiting for a safe one that's locked in the approval cabinet. Even if you assume a thalidomide-scale catastrophe happens during post-phase 1 efficacy testing every single year, even though it wouldn't because phase 1 safety testing actually caught it anyway, the deaths from just the efficacy delay still outnumber the deaths from bad drugs by 3,070 to 1. Your safety system's main product is dead patients. The good news? You already know how to fix this. The bad news? It requires you to do something. The weird news? You'll get rich doing it. The solution: a 1% treaty. This is going to sound crazy, but you're going to use those papers to persuade the leader of every country on Earth to simultaneously redirect 1% of its military budget to clinical trials. That's it. That's the treaty. After the craziness objection, the second objection every human has: but if we cut our military budget, our enemies will invade us. Everyone cuts 1% at the same time. Your national security actually increases because everyone has 1% fewer missiles pointed at them. And if you still feel like doing war, $2.69 trillion is still enough to murder every man, woman, and child on Earth 20 times, which should be more than sufficient. But humans would never agree to a treaty, you say. You already have, multiple times. You banned chemical weapons, 1993, 193 countries. You banned biological weapons, 1975, 187 countries. You banned landmines, 1997, 164 countries. You've signed treaties banning weapons you actually like using. This one just asks you to buy 1% fewer of them. I've done this before. I've sent versions of this manual to 847 civilizations on 847 planets. Some listened, some didn't. I kept the data. The civilizations that redirected resources from killing each other to keeping each other alive transcended war and disease. The ones that didn't extincted themselves. The difference was never intelligence, technology, or resources. The only variable was the percentage of the population that decided it sounded crazy without reading the next page.
That is the same reflex that kept you from inventing antibiotics for 200,000 years while bread mold sat right there on your bread. And you have two other advantages: the internet and a new financial instrument designed specifically for harnessing the most powerful force in the universe, human greed. Your decentralized FDA.
On Wishonia, we built this with the funding from our version of the treaty 3,000 years ago. Every treatment is tracked in real time, every outcome is published, every patient can participate. We don't have a word for unapproved medicine because we don't have a bureaucracy that sits on safe treatments while people die. You'd call our system a decentralized FDA. Here's what yours would look like, adjusted for the fact that you require small pieces of paper before you'll do anything. 80% of the $27.2 billion will go directly to subsidizing patient participation in pragmatic trials at $929 per patient, instead of the usual $41,000. Patients will choose which trials to join. Their subsidy will follow them. Treatment developers and providers will get paid for each participant. No grant committees deciding which diseases are fashionable this year. Pragmatic trials will integrate into the standard healthcare system. Real patients will participate instead of 200 people hand-picked by pharmaceutical companies. The whole thing will use your new decentralized FDA protocol, reducing trial costs by 44.1 times and funding 23.4 million patients per year versus the current 1.9 million patients per year. Remember that billion patients drowning in line for two life jackets? Your decentralized FDA will hand out 23.4 million. This will increase the treatment discovery rate 12.3 times, compressing that roughly 443 years wait to roughly 36 years. Two things will save lives. First, finding treatments faster. Treatments that would have sat undiscovered for centuries will get found 204 years sooner on average. Second, eliminating the 8.2-year bureaucratic delay between proving a drug is safe and letting dying humans take it. Combined, treatments will reach patients 212 years sooner on average. That timeline shift will prevent 10.7 billion deaths. Real-time safety monitoring. Remember Vioxx and the smoke detector that works by mail? Your new system will collect every side effect automatically in real time. You'll know 12% got headaches, 3% were severe, before you take the pill, not after the class action lawsuit. The FDA doesn't publish these numbers at all. They make you guess. Treatment rankings. Currently, your doctor picks treatments based on that drug rep who brought good donuts in 2003, something they half remember from medical school, whatever the insurance company allows, and vibes. This is called evidence-based medicine, which contains the word evidence the way grape soda contains the word grape. Your decentralized FDA will rank every treatment by what actually happened to real humans who took it. Outcome labels. Food has nutrition labels, cigarettes have warning labels, drugs have 40-page inserts written by lawyers having seizures, which nobody reads, including your doctor. Your television advertisements show a smiling human frolicking through a meadow while a voiceover lists ways the drug might kill you at auctioneer speed. The metal human does not react to the word stroke. Side effects include death, listed between constipation and mild rash, as if your organs failing is roughly as inconvenient as dry skin. The label says individual results may vary, meaning outcomes range from cured to deceased, both technically qualifying. It also says ask your doctor, but your doctor has 7 minutes per appointment and just Googled your condition in the hallway. Your new system will produce outcome labels that tell you what actually happens when real humans take a drug, not what a marketing department hopes happens, not what a lawyer is comfortable admitting happens. What happens? Why this could actually work, unlike everything else humanity has tried. The evidence.
The RECOVERY trial tested 6 treatments on 48,000 patients for $500 per patient instead of the usual $41,000 per patient. That's an 82 times cost reduction, not in theory, in reality, during a pandemic, while panicking. After World War II, humans cut military spending by 87.6% in 2 years and accidentally created the greatest economic boom in history. You're now spending 30.6 times the pre-World War II baseline in inflation-adjusted dollars. You're asking for 1%. Even people who really, really love exploding people should be able to handle 1%. Even your own war heroes figured this out. Eisenhower, the human who won World War II, warned you that the weapons industry was eating your civilization alive. Every gun that is made, every warship launched, every rocket fired signifies, in the final sense, a theft from those who hunger and are not fed, those who are cold and are not clothed. You gave him a standing ovation and then immediately ignored him for 65 years. The math. Remember the 212 years timeline shift? Treatments reaching patients that many years sooner means billions of people gain years of healthy life. Value each of those life years at $150,000, the standard economic valuation. Multiply across the global disease burden over the acceleration window, and you get $84.8 quadrillion in total economic value. Divide that by $1 billion campaign cost, and you get a return of 84.8 million to 1. Your calculator will display an error, then catch fire. This is correct.
Cost effectiveness: $0.00177 to save 1 year of healthy human life. Anti-malaria bed nets, the gold standard for keeping humans alive, cost $89. This is 50,300 times cheaper. It beats smallpox eradication, 280 to 1, and childhood vaccinations, 13 to 1, which were humanity's previous greatest hits in the not dying genre. Even if you assume only a 1% probability of the treaty actually passing, because you're you, the expected return is still 503 times better than anti-malaria bed nets. The 5-step plan: saving humanity while making everyone obscenely wealthy. Step 1. Sell incentive alignment bonds. On Washonia, people do useful things because they're useful. On Earth, you need a financial instrument. So here's one. An incentive alignment bond funds a policy campaign, then splits the resulting government savings 3 ways: 80% to clinical trials, 10% to investors as a revenue share on treaty funds, and 10% to a super PAC that rewards politicians who voted yes. Campaign support while they're running, cushy post office careers when they're done. Investors give money, get more money back. Politicians get reelected. 80% goes to curing diseases. The corruption is capped at 20% and fully transparent. The other 80% is uncorruptible public goods funding via wishocratic allocation. Remember when your grandparents funded World War II by buying bonds? They got 4% returns and a world without Nazis, mostly. You're proposing the same thing. What grandma got? Dead Nazis. Admittedly good. 4% returns. Barely beat inflation. Still died of cancer in 1987. What you're offering? Dead diseases. Objectively better than dead Nazis because diseases kill more people. 272% annual returns, a revenue share on 10% of treaty funds. If the treaty grows, so do their returns, which turns investors into the world's most motivated lobbyists for expanding it. Not dying from preventable meat failures. This is the big one. Also, no Nazis, as a bonus. This raises the $1 billion needed to fuel the rest of the bribery machine. How the money loop works. Here's the part where humans usually stop reading because it involves following money through more than one step. Try to keep up. 1. You sell $1 billion in victory incentive alignment bonds to investors.
This funds the campaign. 2. The campaign succeeds. Your treaty redirects 1% of military spending, $27.2 billion per year, flows from the murder budget to clinical trials. 3. The Victory Corporation, your special purpose vehicle, or SPV, that issues the bonds, takes a 20% management fee on that $27.2 billion. 4. Half of that fee, 10%, goes to investor dividends, $2.72 billion per year on a $1 billion investment. That's 272% annual returns. Your investors will think it's a typo. It's not. 5. The other half, 10%, goes to a super PAC that algorithmically allocates $2.72 billion per year to getting treaty-friendly politicians elected and funding cushy post office careers for the ones who voted yes. The more you voted for the treaty, the more support you get. It's Pavlovian conditioning, but for senators. The remaining 80% of $27.2 billion goes where it's supposed to, funding clinical trials that keep humans alive. This is the entire trick. You use greed to fund the campaign, greed to pass the treaty, and greed to keep it passed. Nobody has to become a better person. The money just circulates until diseases stop existing. If this sounds familiar, it should. Eisenhower warned you about the military-industrial complex. Weapons manufacturers fund politicians, politicians fund weapons contractors fund politicians. It's a self-sustaining loop that prints money and corpses. You're building the same machine but pointed at diseases instead of countries. Call it the patient industrial complex. Investors fund politicians. Politicians fund clinical trials. Trials generate returns. Returns fund investors. Investors fund politicians. Same loop, same greed, same self-sustaining mechanics, different corpses, fewer of them. The military-industrial complex wasn't designed. It evolved because the incentives aligned. An incentive alignment bond just aligns them on purpose towards something that doesn't require orphans. Step 2. The great clicking. Make humans click a button to not die. You need 3.5% of humanity to vote yes on should your country redirect 1% of military spending to fund clinical trials. Why 3.5%? A political scientist named Erica Chenoweth studied every major political movement of the last century and found that none had ever failed after achieving 3.5% active participation. Not one. Every civil rights movement, every revolution, every regime change. Hit 3.5% and you win. It's like a cheat code for civilization.
That's 280 million humans. Sounds like a lot until you remember that more than 10 times as many of you downloaded TikTok to watch people twerk. You can get 280 million to vote yes or no on the treaty. $250 million of the campaign budget goes to paid referral bonuses that make sharing their link to vote financially attractive. It's a pyramid scheme where the thing at the top of the pyramid is not dying from preventable diseases. Step 3. Bribe the bribers. Professional bribery conversion therapy. Military lobbyists currently get $1,813 back per dollar invested in democracy corruption. Show them a spreadsheet. Current job. The salary is $500,000. The moral status is somewhere between arms dealer and the person who puts raisins in cookies. The legacy is, here lies someone who made orphans. Your offer. It is the same salary, but for lobbying politicians to fund clinical trials instead of cluster bombs. The moral status is philanthropist, but you get to keep the money. The legacy is accidentally saved humanity while getting rich. They might switch sides faster than Italy in a world war. Lobbyists don't have beliefs. They have clients. Give them a better client. Step 4. Purchase democracy. It's for sale anyway. Politicians need papers and votes to keep their jobs. Currently, weapons manufacturers provide both. you're going to outbid them. Your explosion manufacturers spend $127 million a year buying politicians. Your one-time bribery budget is $1 billion, which is 8 times their annual spend and about twice what they spend over a full election cycle. Politicians are surprisingly affordable. It's not corruption if you corrupt the corruption. Remember that $2.72 billion a year from step one? This is where it goes. The Super PAC algorithmically scores politicians based on their treaty voting record and allocates accordingly. Campaign support for the ones running, post office fellowships for the ones retiring. Vote yes on the treaty, get rewarded. Vote no, watch your opponent get rewarded. No papers go directly to politicians. The papers take a scenic route through a scoring algorithm, which is apparently the only legal way to train a senator. The NRA already perfected this technology. They give politicians a letter grade, and your senators are more afraid of a mass mark than a mass shooting. You're plagiarizing their system and replacing guns with not dying from diseases. The incentive alignment bond architecture works for any problem where politicians need to do something good but currently get punished for it, which on your planet is most problems. Step 5. Enjoy. Everyone gets rich and nobody dies. Your treaty passes because money defeats morality, as is tradition. The $27.2 billion a year money volcano erupts. Defense contractors keep 99% of their murder budget, plus get 272% returns. Big Pharma. Instead of paying $41,000 for phase 2 and 3 trials, the treaty pays them for each patient that joins their trials. Insurance companies. Healthy people file fewer claims than dead people. Dead people file 0 claims, which is the ideal customer, except they also pay 0 premiums, creating a revenue problem. Investors. 272% returns. Returns scale with every treaty expansion, so investors become the world's most aggressive pro-health and anti-war lobbying force. Not a sentence anyone expected to write. Lobbyists. Same job, same salary, but their Wikipedia page no longer needs a controversies section. Politicians. Getting re-elected by living voters. A revolutionary strategy. Regular humans, not dying from stupid things. Priceless, but also free. Nobody has to evolve morally. You just point everyone's greed at diseases instead of each other. How this manual could fix everything. Pictures, because reading is hard when you're diseased and dying. Simple math, mostly addition, some multiplication. Exact amounts of papers to give to specific humans. The order in which to give them. Very important. Legal ways to call bribes other things. Templates for tricking politicians into saving lives. Everything is designed to work with human dysfunction, not against it. I'm not asking humans to be better humans. I'm showing you how to bribe humanity into not dying. The part where humanity has no choice. The twist, you might do this anyway, not because it's right, though it is, but because the rich humans want 272% returns. They're very greedy. The politicians want to keep their jobs. They're very vain. The voters want free healthcare. They're very sick. The explosion manufacturers want money. They don't care where it comes from. Everyone's greed aligns perfectly to accidentally save humanity. It's like you're going to cure death by mistake while trying to get rich. Humans aren't stupid. You invented cheese, which is milk you left out until it went bad, but in a good way. That's genius. You just need to apply that same innovation to not dying. Choose your own adventure. Now is the time to select one of the two paths for the remainder of your existence. I modeled both paths for 20 of your years. On Washonia, we call this a before and after, except the before is your current civilization, and the after is one that stopped hitting itself. Right now, Earth is on track for $20,500 average income by year 20. That's your baseline. The treaty path, where you just move the murder money to medicine money, gets you to $339,000, which is 16.5 times your current trajectory. Then there's the Washonia path. On my planet, we liked incentive alignment bonds so much, we didn't stop at murder money. We pointed them at everything. The 40% of your government budgets that evaporate into paperwork. The regulations written before you discovered electricity. The 9 agencies that all do the same thing but won't return each other's calls. Turns out when you pay people to fix problems instead of perpetuate them, they fix the problems. We were as surprised as anyone. That path gets you to $1.16 million average income, which is 56.7 times your baseline. One path is stop murdering. The other is stop murdering and stop being stupid. Both are improvements. Future A. You ignore this manual. Year 2030, still spending 604 times more on weapons than on testing which medicines actually work. Year 2035, running out of papers for anything because the money was busy becoming missiles. Year 2040, climate change mates nuclear war. Year 2045, cockroaches evolve intelligence. Year 2050, cockroaches find this manual very confused. Future B, you follow instructions. Year 2030, remember when we had cancer? Year 2035, remember when we had death? Year 2040, remember when we had war? Year 2045, what should we do with all these old bombs? Year 2050, join galactic community, pretend you were always smart. Communism was invented, took over half your planet, and collapsed in a single human lifetime, in a world without fax machines. It required mass murder and was a terrible idea. You have the internet and quantifiably the best idea in the history of your world. It primarily requires people spending 15 seconds clicking a button. If you can't make this happen, that's a skill issue. The universe is literally offering you infinite money and eternal life, and you're thinking about it? This is why aliens don't visit.